This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Thursday, January 22nd. Good morning. I'm Jeff Valley. Here's today's headlines. New guidance for subsidence. Pistachio growers cheer USDA buys. FPIP dollars go to producers and a call for food retail industry probe. DWR finalizes subsidence guidance. The Department of Water Resources has finalized a new set of best management practices aimed at helping local groundwater agencies curb land subsidence and protect California's water infrastructure, growing concern in heavily pumped agriculture regions. The guidance is intended to support groundwater sustainability agencies as they implement SGMA and address subsidence linked to long-term overdraft. DWR says the BPMs provide practical tools for understanding subsidence risk, improving monitoring, and coordinating responses to protect canals, pipelines, and other critical conveyance facilities. The finalized BMP's outline recommends approaches for data collection, use of satellite and ground-based monitoring, and integrations of subsidence management into groundwater sustainability plans. While the practices are voluntary, DWR says they are designed to help agencies avoid infrastructure damage and long-term economic losses. Pistachio growers back USDA specialty crop purchases. American pistachio growers welcoming a new USDA initiative to purchase up to $80 million in specialty crops for distribution through food banks and federal nutrition programs, saying the plan will provide timely support for growers while expanding access to healthy foods. Under the program, USDA will buy domestically produced fruits, nuts, vegetables, and other specialty crops for use in food assistance channels like the Emergency Food Assistance Program. The purchases are intended to bolster farm income and amid volatile markets while helping food banks meet rising demand. American pistachio growers said the effort recognizes the role specialty crop producers play in the food system and offers a market-based tool to stabilize returns. The group also emphasized the nutritional value of pistachios, noting that expanded purchases can help deliver shelf-stable, protein-rich foods to underserved communities. USDA officials have framed the initiative as a part of a broader strategy to strengthen supply chains, support U.S. agriculture, and improve nutrition outcomes. The department said procurement details and eligible products will be finalized in the coming weeks, with purchases expected to move quickly to ensure timely delivery. Food processors get more decarbonization grants. California Energy Commission approved $6 million in awards yesterday for three food processing projects under the Food Production Investment Program, part of ongoing efforts to help the state's food manufacturing sector cut energy costs, reduce emissions, and improve air quality. The program provides matching grants for advanced energy efficiency, renewable energy, load management, and decarbonization technologies at food and beverage facilities statewide. Gallo Global Nutrition LP received about $2 million to install ultra-efficient, low-charge ammonia refrigeration systems at its Atwater dairy protein facility, projected to reduce roughly 550 metric tons of greenhouse gases annually and phase out high global warming potential refrigerants. Harvest Food Products has awarded more than $2 million for a carbon dioxide refrigeration system in Hayward, with expected cuts of about 1,000 metric tons of emissions. FC Tracy Holdings LLC received about $1 million to install a solar-powered microgrid and battery storage system in Tracy. Two of the projects are located in under-resourced communities, according to the commission. Since its creation in 2018, the Food Production Investment Program has awarded more than $130 million to nearly 60 projects, helping food processors deploy technologies that reduce energy use and carbon emissions while bolstering grid reliability. Lawmakers call for a food retail industry investigation. Six Republican senators want Attorney General Pam Bondi and Federal Trade Commission Chair Andrew Ferguson to investigate the food retail industry for violating antitrust law intended to protect small retailers. In a letter, Chuck Grassley and Joni Ernst of Iowa, Mike Rounds of South Dakota, Tom Tillis of North Dakota, Roger Marshall of Kansas, and Tim Shee of Montana say they've heard about a lack of competition forcing small and medium-sized grocers to, quote, accept increasingly discriminatory terms and conditions for their products, including less favorable pricing, price terms, supply terms, and retail packaging. The senators say those retailers, quote, allege that sometimes they are unable to access products that are in short supply, while their larger competitors are able to obtain those same products. They add that industries such as the grocery business experience high turnover and low margins, which allows firms with market leverage, whether sellers, purchasers, or intermediaries, to engage in discriminatory practices that disproportionately harm independent competitors. Trump walks back European tariff threat. President Donald Trump is dropping his plans to impose new tariffs on European partners for opposing his effort to take control of Greenland. In a post to Truth Social yesterday, the president says he spoke to NATO Secretary Mark Rutte and hashed out the framework of a future deal for Greenland security. Further information will be made available as discussions progress, Trump wrote. Take note, Trump's post came just hours after European Parliament formally suspending the approval of a U.S.-European Union trade pact agreed last year. During a press conference yesterday, the Parliament's International Trade Committee Chair, Bernd Lange, told reporters the body wouldn't sign off on the deal unless there is, quote, clarity on Trump's Greenland plans. Craig and local officials assail SNAP cuts. Angie Craig, the top Democrat on the House Agriculture Committee, linked the One Big Beautiful Bill Act's shifting of SNAP administrative costs to the states of higher property taxes in Minnesota. Led by Craig, yesterday, Democratic lawmakers held a roundtable highlighting the impacts of the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, which cuts the SNAP program by $287 billion over 10 years, that according to the Congressional Budget Office. Craig said cuts in federal social safety net programs such as Medicaid and SNAP were forcing county officials in her state to raise property taxes. Two examples, Dakota County, the largest in her congressional district, has okayed a 9.9% increase. St. Louis County has approved a 12.4% hike. Officials from Connecticut, Ohio, and New Jersey told the roundtable they were struggling to implement new SNAP work requirements without clear guidance from USDA. Daniel Giacomi, the division director for the Connecticut Department of Social Services, said states need more time to implement changes before they have to shoulder more of the financial burden of running SNAP. Some other details. Well, the One Big Beautiful Bill Act requires states to pick up 75% of SNAP administration tab. They currently pay 50%. One study has concluded that will increase state costs by $15 billion annually. The officials also derided the One Big Beautiful Act use of SNAP error rates to determine administrative costs, saying it's not reflective of how well programs are operated. I will just say it out loud here today. The payment error rate is a fundamentally flawed metric, said Larry Brash, Deputy Division Director for the New Jersey Department of Human Services. Here's today's final word. This is painful for me. I really want this project. That California Water Commissioner Daniel Curtin castigating the Sites Project Authority over its decision to hire an out-of-state contractor for the reservoir project. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Thursday, January 22nd. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Nally.